Don't dump it, FreeCycle it. Join the Asheville FreeCycle Group on Facebook to give away your unwanted items. Find great items for free. And above all, help keep these things from cluttering our landfills. Log on to Facebook and search Asheville FreeCycle to join.
Asheville Free Media, AshevilleFM.org. This is The Final Straw on Bursts of Goodness. The show can also be heard on KXCF in Marshall, California, KWTF in Bodega Bay, California, KOWALP in Olympia, Washington, and WCRS-LP in Columbus, Ohio. Archives of the show can be found a week after broadcast at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org, and you can contact us very easily with a few clicks of the button and types on the keyboard at thefinalstrawradio@riseup.net. This week will be mostly a music show after a few announcements of upcoming events in North Carolina and around the country. What you say, what you say?
The Nobel Committee named winners of the Nobel Peace Prize for 2013. Malala Yousafzai shares the award with some guy nobody ever heard of, which isn't to say he doesn't deserve it. It's just that he now occupies a dubious place in history, along with the drummer that Ringo Starr replaced in the Beatles, and that guy who was the other half of Wham, who wasn't George Michael. He's that dude who won the Nobel Peace Prize with Malala. This year, it seems, the Nobel Committee ran out of heads of state to honor for managing several wars simultaneously. You'll recall Barack Obama as a prior Nobel Peace Prize winner, back when people were still wearing his Hope and Change t-shirts. So if the conduct of past Peace Prize winners is any indication of what we can expect from Malala and what's-his-name, they'll soon be using drones to blow up wedding parties in the Third World and approving complex illegal spying programs. Yay for peace, hope and change. From what I'm seeing in the media, it feels like people genuinely like Malala. And there's popular support for using the Nobel Peace Prize to recognize her. Her story is pretty inspirational. In October 2012, Wahhabist extremists boarded a bus she was riding, and to make an example of what happens to girls who attend Western-style schools, they shot her in the face. Malala survived and became the symbol of a campaign against extremism. When she spoke last year at the United Nations, attempting to mobilize the world in support of children's rights, she ended her speech with a call for global mandatory education. I'm not quite sure how compulsory schooling imposed by governments equates with freedom, but okay. I've long ago stopped expecting diluted hierarchies to make sense. Not siding with the Wahhabists here, folks. I'm just questioning whether our only two solutions are to either shoot kids in the face or else impose a system of education like the U.S. has that frequently provokes students to, well, shoot each other in the face. But Malala is personable and appealing, and I'm certainly not going to begrudge her for making off with $1 million in Nobel's ill-gotten loot. Oh, yeah, and I'm sure what's-his-name is a nice guy, too. So just to be clear, I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm really not. It just comes natural, and I'm really good at it. So I gotta ask, are we gonna award the Peace Prize to every school kid who gets shot in the face? I'm asking because on any given day, you've got half a dozen Peace Prize winners in the D.C. public school system. Michael Brown qualifies for 2 Peace Prizes according to the autopsy diagrams, since Ferguson police delivered a double tap that made sure Mike would never have the chance to speak before the U.N., like Malala did. I guess that proves that the murderous extremists in the U.S. are a better shot than their Pakistani counterparts. Go figure. Practice makes perfect, right? At any rate, with this year's award, the Nobel Committee put a spotlight on a student activist for children's rights to education and on a nameless guy who dedicated his life to combating child slavery. So almost a decade and a half into the 21st century, the Nobel Committee has decided to take the radical stand that we shouldn't enslave our kids or shoot them in the face. Yay, Nobel Committee. Peace, hope, change. This may sound cynical, but it sure feels like the Nobel Committee has given us a fluffy feel-good moment, an opportunity to hold hands and sing Kumbaya and pat ourselves on the back for standing in solidarity with Malala and what's-his-face. Rather than actually doing something significant to challenge power, to change conditions, to further the cause of real peace. I guess we really shouldn't expect too much from an organization financially maintained by the jerk-off who invented dynamite, huh? All this got me thinking what I would do if I was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. If 10,000 people write and recommend the same person, three members of the Nobel Committee will go interview that potential nominee.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional institution and may be recorded or monitored.
Imagine if enough people wrote me in and three members of the Nobel Committee came here to the Supermax and I beat them up. I bet I could do it. They're probably pacifists. At level 4A, I don't have any restraints, and there's the element of surprise. No previous Peace Prize nominee ever kicked the nominating committee's ass before, right? I mean, think about it. Think Mother Teresa ever hit them with a spinning roundhouse kick? Or that Irish poet guy knocked their teeth out with a flying elbow? Of course not. I'd make history. The first nominee to knock out the Nobel nominating committee. That'd show them what we think of their stupid Peace Prize, huh? And then you could watch it over and over again from the security footage. Anyone who wants to nominate me and watch the fireworks can either find the Nobel Committee online or else write to the Norwegian Nobel Institute, Drammensveien 19, number 0255, Oslo, Norway. We'll soon have a post on the. We'll soon have a post with the transcript of this segment at seanswain.org for anyone who wants to turn the Nobel Peace Prize nomination process into celebrity boxing. For ESON, this is anarchist prisoner Sean Swain from Ohio's Supermax facility. If you're listening, you are the resistance.
You can write to Sean Swain at Sean Swain, number 243-205, OSP, 878, Coitsville-Hubbard Road, Youngstown, Ohio, 44505. To read some of Sean's writings and learn more about his case, check out seanswain.org. Pine Ridge Operation Warm Winter. This is a virtual event that can be done from the comfort of your own home. South Dakota winters can be brutal, with wind chills dipping down to minus 60 to 70 below zero and temperatures falling to minus 40 to 50 below. Small children and elderly are especially at high risk for hypothermia. Unfortunately, deaths occur due to hypothermia, malnutrition, and lack of basic human needs on the Pine Ridge Reservation. They currently have many families on their list that are in desperate need of assistance with propane and electrical heating costs. Most of these families have small children or are elders that are disabled. Grandmothers are the main caretakers of the children on Pine Ridge. The American Indians, quote, Operation Warm Winter, unquote, event will provide funding for propane and electricity, which are the main sources of heating and cooking for many homes on Pine Ridge. Please don't underestimate the importance of a small donation, a small contribution, which, in combination with others, can make a huge impact for someone who has nothing. As usual, please spread the word. And you can find them at paypal.com by searching for the American Indians and Operation Warm Winter. Another announcement, crowdsourcing for an info shop, vegan kitchen, free store, and more. You can check out Indiegogo.com and search the terms info shop, vegan kitchen, free store for specifics on the project that they're doing. So the people that are involved in doing this project and who are requesting funds are involved with the IWW, or the Industrial Workers of the World, the Anarchist Black Cross, Food Not Bombs, and more. And they're anarchists who are asking for assistance to be able to build up an anarchist infrastructure in the city of Kansas City, Missouri. If you have a special interest or place in your heart for Missouri and want to help up the ante there, that is an option. There's two upcoming events concerning Ayotzinapa in North Carolina this week. Ayotzinapa, for people who don't recall, is the area in the state of Guerrero in Mexico where 43 student teachers, teaching students, were kidnapped by law enforcement and disappeared, ostensibly, according to the now arrested mayor and chief of police and mayor's wife. Because they were causing problems for the Liberal Party there and were handed off from the police after being fired upon by the police, handed off by the police to a drug gang who dispatched them, chopped them up, and burned their bodies and threw their ashes in the river. And this just happened quite recently. And Mexico has been in a state of huge disruption since then. People across the country asking, requiring, demanding that these students be brought back alive, and enraged about the impunity of government officials, the drug war, the war on Mexican people, capitalism, corruption of the state, all this stuff. So, on Wednesday, November 19th, in Raleigh, on the eve of the, quote, Day of the Revolution, unquote, holiday, there will be events from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the consulate during rush hour, the Mexican consulate. People will be handing out information, raising awareness about the students' massacre, and demanding the resignation of Peña Nieto. And in the evening from 4 p.m. to 6:30, there will be a solidarity rally, music, art, and vigil. I would check out internationalist... prisonbooks.info probably for listings about those events, because it's for internationalist books and prison books, and they advertise a lot of actions that happen in North Carolina, especially in the Triangle. Also, on Thursday, November 20th, there will be a rally at 5 p.m. at the Vance Monument in solidarity with the national strike of Mexican workers and students who are protesting the government-backed disappearance of the 43 students in Ayotzinapa. Following that, at the Civic Center, there is Trans Day of Remembrance. 7 p.m. at the Civic Center, and heading to Vance Monument after a reading of the names of trans folks who have been taken from us and their communities in the last year and beyond. If you are in Black Mountain or the Asheville area, or go to Warren Wilson College, this coming Monday at 7 p.m. at the... The meeting room in the cafeteria building, the very big one on the third floor, there will be Cannon Lounge. There will be a presentation by Aragorn Bang, who is one of the masterminds behind anarchistnews.org, as well as Little Black Cart and all of its subsidiaries, and is an editor and contributor to Black Seed, a new green anarchist journal. Aragorn is going to be speaking about giving readings from Black Seed and having a conversation about the role of anthropology and social sciences in our green anarchy and green anarchism. So if you can't make that night, which is a free event, you can also find Aragorn speaking the next day at Downtown Books and News on North Lexington Avenue in Asheville. That event begins at 6 and goes until about 8 p.m. At both events, there will be free copies of Black Seed available, and I'm sure other parts of the Black Seed distro. It's a good place to come and find out about at least, well, Aragorn's perspectives, and also come into contact with other like-minded folks in the area. Cops not welcome. That should be about it. First up, we are going to hear Secretos en la Oscuridad by the neo-crust post-metal band Parusia, from the album Y Su Noche No Tendrá Fin. Parusia is from Andalusia in Spain, and the album is themed around the history of the Mano Negra, the Black Hand, an underground anarchist organization of the late 1800s whose supposed actions were used by the Spanish government to justify the execution of 15 peasants and general suppression of peasants. This album was released on October 12th of this year. Right after that, we're going to be hearing Seeds in the Barren Field, straight out of Göteborg, Sweden, from their split with the Brazilian anarcho-crust band Macula. The track is called Reverence. We'll be right back.
continues to grow, and as prosperity presumably continues to grow and people power up in their energy use, we get to a situation where there isn't any excess capacity to keep that powering going. And at some point, you end up with a flat supply and a growing demand, and you have serious problems. And that's the nature of peak oil.
It's inevitable that within the very next few years, we'll see the global peak in oil production. Nobody's ready for that.
All the structures that now exist, urban formations, and transportation systems, our means of getting food, globalization is an economic model, capitalism is an economic model, which depends upon constant expansion, growth, and ever more resources. It cannot possibly continue to exist.
Fossil fuel lights coming through.
So we just heard Reverence by the Swedish band Seeds in Barren Fields, of a green anarchist tinge, that band is. And next up is Hotlos from their band Natural, and this song is entitled Once. It just came out on the 24th of October.
We'll be right back.
Okay, we just heard Hotlos with Once, and now we're going to hear Unwelcome by Bereft from their upcoming album, Lost Ages. Lost Ages will be out November 18th from Silent Pendulum Records. The band is based in Madison, Wisconsin. After that, we're going to be hearing Gale, a sludge doom metal quartet from Phoenix, Arizona, Unsung, from their release entitled Gale Volume 1. Right now we're listening to Aria with track 1 and 2 from their recent tape release, self-titled. And we're going to finish up this episode with Contempt by Skinwalker off of their album Black Lung.
Thank you.
Asheville Free Media, ashevillefm.org. This is The Final Straw on Burst of Goodness. The show can also be heard on KXCF in Marshall, California, KWTF in Bodega Bay, California, KOWALP in Olympia, Washington, and WCRS-LP in Columbus, Ohio. Archives of the show can be found a week after broadcast at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org, and you can contact us very easily with a few clicks of the button and types on the keyboard at thefinalstrawradio@riseup.net.